Welcome to A Place to Call Home. I'm your host, Ed O. Bridgman, electrical engineer, developer, and founder of EOB Consulting. Today, I'm exploring how innovative RV destinations are redefining modern living. You're watching Now Media Television. Hello. Welcome to A Place to Call Home with your host, Ed Bridgman. Today, I'm excited to welcome Jeff Brandeis to A Place to Call Home. Jeff is a high-impact keynote speaker, presentation performance expert, author, and the host of the Authority Playbook. He spent more than 25 years in senior leadership roles, helping organizations communicate with greater clarity, more confidence, and stronger influence in high-stake moments. What makes this conversation so relevant for our audience is that in the outdoor hospitality industry and alternative living, have a great concept is not enough. I have to be able to communicate the value of that concept clearly to investors, to partners, to teams, to communities, and to the market. Today, I want to explore how stronger communication can turn a promising idea into a project people trust, support, and believe in. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jeff. I hope that you enjoy being here. You're my second person to interview.
That's awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it. And the journey always continues and we'll always be there. So it's great that you're taking the bull by the horn.
Well, thank you. I'd like to open by framing communication not as a soft skill, but as a strategic business asset in this space. Projects rise or stall based on how clearly the vision is expressed. I want to establish early that in development, hospitality, and community-based business models, clarity creates momentum. Jeff, when I look at the ambitious hospitality or development concepts, I often see founders who deeply understand their own idea, but struggle to communicate it in a way that other people can immediately believe in it. Why does that happen so often?
It happens so often because their vision, they haven't really thought about how it impacts the other people that they want to have be part of their family. It's kind of transitioning over to, you know, I built this, I know this, I love it. And the tendency is to dive deep into the weeds, as opposed to trying to stay above the weeds and higher into the altitude and kind of let people know what your passion, why it's there, and actually even more importantly, why it's going to help the people that you're talking to. What's in it for them as opposed to what's in it for you? I think that's one of the biggest challenges that most developers, hospitality people, real estate pitches or board people go into. They make it more about them as opposed to about the audience.
Well, please tell me, how do you get that across? How do you get it to be more about them?
One of the simple factors that we typically usually talk about when I talk to presenters or executives is to really ask some questions up front. Invest a pitch, ask the question, how many of you have ever invested before or in other projects? Raise the hands and get people to be engaged with your presentation. Just don't make it a pitch deck or a 45-minute, what I like to call it, death by PowerPoint presentation, because we all know how those end. They don't end really well. But one of the frameworks that I like to always talk about and teach that I created is the engage process. And if you can engage your audience while you're doing your presentation, you will learn so much about what they're looking for and then be able to pivot based upon how they answer your questions. It's a simple concept in very many ways, but most leaders, most founders, most investor pitch, they miss it.
Wow, that is so strong. That's so good. I'm curious. We're totally off script here, but You're a presenter, you're a speaker. What are some of the largest audiences you've ever spoken to? And then when you have this huge audience, how do you get them all to interact with you?
That's a great question. And it is challenging. The largest I've spoken to has been over 1,000. And honestly, you can't ask, you know, always get people to raise your hands when you're talking to 1,000 people. But that's where you need to really understand the makeup of your audience, from the person that kind of invited you to do that that speech, that presentation. Understanding the makeup, what got them to sit there? Why did they sign up to listen to you? What's their background? Do you have an attendee list that you can actually look at some of their names, their backgrounds, so that way you can customize some of your presentation to them? And that way it looks like you've done your homework really at the end of the day, because you've become more familiar with the audience. And maybe if you even had the opportunity, and some people were willing to speak to you prior to your actual presentation in front of 1,000 people. And then you could begin to relate a story about speaking to, hey, I spoke to John, you know, a couple of days ago before I did this presentation. And this is what John told me. And now that people start to buy in, because stories actually will sell. You tell a story, that's what people love to hear, as opposed to hearing all the facts, figures, and the mundane part of your presentation. No offense to anyone that's listening, but that's what gets people involved. You know, when you can share your from your heart, share another person's story. And then, yeah, you need to get to the details, but get them into you. Build that trust early. And that's so important.
Wow, that's such good advice. So I read someplace that the number one fear in America is public speaking. And the number two fear is death. In other words, most people, if they were going to attend a funeral, they would rather be in the coffin than doing the eulogy. How have you overcome it? Or do you have a fear of standing up in front of 1,000 people?
Yeah, I think it's human nature. You're going to have a fear. Are you going to say something wrong, or something's going to go not work the way you thought it was going to work? But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you go into a bar and you see somebody that you want to go talk to. You know, your first instinct is a little trepidation. What am I going to say? What if that person rejects me? They don't want to talk to me. You know, so you move on to the next person, and hopefully you find someone that wants to talk to you. And that's really, you know, my strategy, if you would, when you get to public speaking. You know, whether it's a one-to-one conversation or you're talking to many people, you stand up front of an audience of 1,000 people, look them down if you're on stage, and pick out a couple of people and talk to them like they're your best friends, and forget about everyone else that's around and just focus on a few key people, and they'll look back at you, and that connection is what will drive you to be a better speaker.
Well, how I can drive that back to my clients who are trying to develop an outdoor hospitality destination, and they're dependent upon an investor or a group of investors, and they need to stand up in front of 4, 5, 6 people or a bank and ask for millions of dollars. Please, let's finish out this segment. Give them pearls of wisdom. Tell them how they can relax, how they can present the best way to ensure that that investor will listen.
It's really all about getting them involved. And I think really, you know, there's no guarantees. You got 6 people sitting in front of you. They have the funds that they're looking to invest. Your job is to tell them and provide them the information why your investment is going to be the best investment for them. That's your goal. That's your one mission. And I would tell them right up front, hey, what I'm going to show you today is why this deal, this investment is the best thing that you're going to do, not only for yourself, but for your investors. That's what I'm going to show you today. Set the stage. Set the stage up front. Tell them what you're going to do. And setting the stage is so important. It's no different than the first chapter of a book. It's the opening. You get people into the expectation. You get people into the plot. And then your next step is to take them on that journey.
That is such great advice and something that each of my clients will be able to immediately apply. That is so valuable. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. And thank you very much, by the way, for being with us at A Place to Call Home. I'm going to go ahead and close this segment by reinforcing that a powerful concept only starts to gain traction when the message is clear enough for the other people to see the opportunity as vividly as you do. Okay, so you have to make every presentation with the audience in mind. Who am I speaking to? I don't want to speak down to them. I don't want to speak from someplace that they don't understand. It's extremely important that every presentation starts with the audience in mind. We'll be right back with more insight into designing communities that combine freedom, profitability, and purpose. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Ed O. Bridgman, and this is A Place to Call Home on Now Media Television. Let's continue this conversation.
Ed, what creates that confidence is your ability to communicate, obviously, to the investors that are in the room. And the other aspect of this is to really simplify it for them. For example, don't use acronyms. You might be using acronyms to build this hospitality unit for the past year or in construction or for other aspects of it. Your investors don't know these acronyms. So when you start to use acronyms early and they don't understand them, you've lost your audience already. So you need to, if you catch yourself with an acronym, ask people if they knew what the acronym stands for. And if not, take a moment and describe it. And the other thing is when many of these pitches that I'll call, you're using possibly a PowerPoint deck or a document that you're putting in front of the people. Keep it very simple initially. Give them a brief overview. Don't put a complex slide up that needs, you know, that just adds to confusion. You know, build upon the slide, build your story. And again, get that trust, get them to buy in early. Those first 10 minutes of your presentation is so important. You either get them in there or you lost them. So start small, start simple, build that trust and keep it simple. The old KISS theory, keep it simple, stupid. Make it so that even a second or third grader can understand what you're actually conveying to your investors firsthand.
I think that's wonderful advice. I know as a high-tech engineer designing microprocessors at Motorola, we would use acronyms all the time at Motorola, around Motorola. And you would think that every engineer understood what the acronym meant. And you could even ask them. You could say, hey, do you know what this means? And they would say, sure, I know exactly what that means. And if you really ask them, we discovered that the exact same acronym could be applied differently and mean different things to different people. OMG, you have to define your acronyms before you can use them. And you said in that last sentence that you lose or gain people in the first 10 minutes. Really, is it that long? How fast can you win or lose someone?
If you're face to face, you probably have, you know, that eight minute to 10 minute slot. If you're virtual, honestly, you got less than 3 minutes to really get them to really pay attention before they actually pick this thing up and they start looking at their email or a text. Virtually adds a whole different component to the presentation. But if you're face-to-face, that's where you have the best ability to connect with them. You got the ability, obviously, to shake hands with them, introduce yourself to them when you walk into the room or as they walk into the room. So you build that connection right off the bat. And there are things that we do virtually that you can do the same thing, but it's a little different approach, a little different technique. But building that trust building that engagement, and I'll go back to that again, is so imperative in those first 3 minutes to the 10 minutes.
So if I can draw off of what you just said, I have outdoor hospitality clients who need investors. And sometimes those presentations are given remotely through a Zoom meeting or something like that. For some reason, they're unable to travel and be together face to face. You're telling me, if I understand correctly, that they're likely to get more involvement. They're likely to get those investors on their side goes up. That positivity goes up if they can make certain that they're doing it face to face.
Yeah, I mean, there's still nothing like, in my mind, a personal, you know, face-to-face meeting. But obviously, like you just said, you know, time, effort, where everyone lives, it's tough to always travel to somebody. So what we teach at, and what we train presenters on is how to engage virtually. Make sure you don't lose your audience from a remote perspective. Because typically, if you are doing remote, not everyone's going to be in the same boardroom or the same meeting room anyway. They're also dialing in, connecting in from different locations, or it could be a global call where you got international investors looking in as well. So building that connection virtually also is much more important these days than when you're in a room face-to-face with people.
Well, I'm already starting a pattern, but you are definitely the expert in this field of presentations. So I'm going to ask you a question now, like I did in the last segment, of give us some tips, okay? More and more presentations now are done virtually. Even if I'm presenting to four investors, the odds of getting all four of those investors in the same room at the same time is probably not going to happen in today's society. So you're forced to make this presentation virtually now. Come on, Jeff, give us some key steps. What can we do to ensure that everybody's going to be engaged, everybody's going to understand my vision, and everybody's going to want to give me some money for my project?
Breaking the ice is always the hardest thing to do virtually. And breaking the ice can be just, hey, look, welcome everyone to our presentation today. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and I'm so happy to have you here today. Do me a favor, in chat, where are you calling in from? Just so I can understand where your locations are. Type it into chat. And depending upon what you're using, for example, we have an app that would bring up a globe, and the globe would start to spin. So people, as they started putting in their locations, they would actually see a red dot light up. So this becomes a visual presentation for the audience as well. So now you got them at least engaged because they typed into chat something. And that's great, okay? Now you could go into, hi, great to have you here. One of the things I really like to have you, like to understand from you folks is I'm gonna pull up a yes, no graph. How many of you have invested before in a hospitality project? Type yes into chat. Or if you haven't, type no.
That's great.
Patient from them, and I'll finish one last point here. If they answered no, in my mind, your presentation needs to shift a little bit because these are first-time investors. If they all answered yes, then you have some confidence that they've done this before. You're going to get a little different type of questions, and you got to be able to go down the path of understanding what their knowledge is. So by asking them questions virtually and getting responses from them, you now understand your audience a little better than what you did 3 minutes ago.
That is such good advice, and it ties into what you were saying in the first segment about engaging your audience, helping them to come in and be interactive with your presentation. So you're giving us wonderful advice that we can apply immediately to our virtual meetings. How do we bring these people in and get them to engage with us instead of looking at their cell phone while we're trying to make a presentation?
That's exactly what we're talking about, is having these cues, having, honestly, to work with somebody like myself that can help someone be able to connect virtually to pose these questions and be able to pull these things up from a natural perspective. And no different than what we're doing today, Ed. I mean, this is a production. This is a, you know, a TV show. What you as a hospitality leader, you need to give them a show. You need to be the star of your show. This is you. You're pitching. Don't just pitch, and hope that you're going to close. I mean, sooner or later, they need to hit. They need to bat that ball. You need to throw something out to them that connects with them, and that they can answer something back from you, so that you know exactly what you're supposed to do.
Well, I'm certain that many of guests and many of my clients and myself can all benefit from learning more from you. So how can my guests get a hold of you?
They can go to, if they want to book an appointment, they can go to speakwithjeff.com. And that has my calendar link right there. And if they want to learn about me, they can go to jeffbrandeis.com. And they can learn a little bit more about what I do and how I do it and what type of topics that I talk about.
Thank you. So opportunity does not move at the speed of my vision. It moves at the speed of how clearly and convincingly I communicate that vision to the people who matter. Come back for our last segment on A Place to Call Home, where Jeff is going to give us some more great advice. We'll be right back with more insight into designing communities that combine freedom, profitability, and purpose. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Ed O. Bridgman, and this is A Place to Call Home on Now Media Television. Let's continue this conversation. And we're back on A Place to Call Home. I'm Ed Bridgman, and my guest is Jeff Brandeis. So far, we've talked about communication as influence. Now I want to take it one step further and talk about how great messaging becomes something scalable inside a business. I want this segment to connect Jeff's expertise in messaging, engagement, and repeatable frameworks to the real needs of business growth. In outdoor hospitality and alternative living, growth depends on consistency. I need my team, brand, pitch, sales approach, and customer experience to all speak to the same language. That is where communication becomes operational. Jeff, one thing I find fascinating in your work is the idea that presentations and communication can become scalable business assets. What does that actually mean in practical terms?
It means that your messaging externally is honestly no different than what you're talking about internally. So what I mean by that is the way you talk about your projects, the way you discuss your goals and aspirations and the success that you want to have externally needs to be conveyed internally as well. So a lot of leaders these days don't have a team meeting. They don't have a company meeting. They rely upon their management team, assuming that they have managers, to basically lead the people that work for them. And many times it's like playing, you know, telephone tag, I guess, or I told you a secret, you know, remember back childhood days, if I told you a secret, then you told it to somebody else, and you told it, someone else told it to somebody else, it gets totally different by the time the third, even the fourth person, or even sometimes the second person heard that secret, right? The same thing happens in companies, believe it or not. The leader is there to lead and to guide and to be a spokesperson for the company. And not just to, with all due respect, sit in the ivory tower and not be recognizable, not to be physical, not to be vocal, to go talk to other employees or other managers. And that is what builds morale. That's what builds your credibility as a leader, is when you communicate with your team. And that's also the same message and the same feeling that your investors will also feel as they speak to other people within your organization. You're all walking in line. You're all walking the same language. You're in tune. And that's a goal of a leader. And that's what you must have. That's what keeps morale high. That keeps turnover from minimizing. You don't want to have turnover because it's so costly to replace people. So communicating is so important these days. And whether it's live or virtual, you need to have those conversations, those meetings.
I was listening while you were answering that question, and I do remember playing that game in school, and you get hilarious answers at the end, saying something's very simple at the beginning, and by the time it goes through 10 or 15 people, it's a completely different, and you have to go back and ask people, what do you think you heard? Okay. And then I was listening to what you said, and I was reminded that at Motorola, we would have major decisions that we would need to make. And the leader would pull in top management, top people, and ask them, you know, we'd all sit down together at a table and throw the problem out. No bad answers. Let's brainstorm this and figure out how to move forward. And then we would narrow it down to one or two answers, solutions to this issue. And then somebody, we would either, sometimes we'd vote on it. Sometimes the leader would say, I'm the leader and this is the decision we're going to make. But when we stepped out of that room, everybody had to march to the same beat. This might not have been your idea. You might not have agreed with this decision. But managers who came out of that room and went and led in a different direction or even communicated to their people that, hey, I don't agree with this, but this is what everybody came up with, so this is how we're going to do it. Those managers were fired very quickly.
I think that, you know, everyone stepping in line, talking about the same message, conveying the same message, it's so important. When you start to have people marching by their own drums or their own tunes or doing their own thing, that's when you're going to have, you know, disengagement. You're going to lose control. Your expectations of your clients and your customers, your prospects will even begin to change because things are totally out of line. You're out of alignment. It's no different than driving a car at that point because your wheels are in line and everything's not going in smooth. That ride is going to be very bumpy. And that's what's going to happen within the organization if the leader fails to lead, fails to guide the people, and the communication breaks down. And the Motorola, I mean, that had the right idea. That concept still works today, even if you're a small company. Everyone has to be on the same song, same plane, same game plan, and everyone needs to be marching to the same beat.
Same communication to your guest. If the weekend camp host has different rules for the pool than the weekday camp host, and people are going to figure that out very quickly and they're going to play one side against the other, that is a disaster waiting to happen very quickly.
And if you're in that boardroom and you're pitching hospitality people who, and they're looking for millions, they will sense that friction. And it may not be written, may not be said, but they know it, they feel it, and that's how you lose deals.
Wow, that is so good. That is so easy for us to apply to the outdoor hospitality industry, and immediately, that's so valuable. Thank you. Every single one of these, you've got a lot of great information. I am sure people are going to want to get a hold of you. Maybe you should tell us again how people can get a hold of you.
You can go to speakwithjeff.com, which will have my calendar link in there. Book some time. It's free. It's complimentary. Let's just learn more about each other and what your goals are. Or they can go visit Jeff Brandeis, JeffBrandeis, as it shows on the screen.com. And you can learn more about me as well.
That's great. I want to make certain people are able to reach out to you. You talk about aligning engagement in the last answer. We just talked about messaging and following up with precision. Why is that follow-up so often overlooked? And why is that?
It's one of the, you know, people don't like to be, upon expression, salespeople. But we're all in sales at the end of the day. You know, you're running a business. you're generating revenue, you're trying to get investors in the door. And it's like I'm doing a webinar or I'm doing a meeting, and people will end the meeting, thank you very much, I look forward to hearing from you. That's you. Every meeting needs to end with a call to action. What is the next step that's going to happen before we click and we leave that meeting, or before we shake hands and say goodbye? Thank you for attending. Accomplishes nothing. It leaves it wide open to doing nothing, no follow-up. But when you have that next action step at the end, let's agree as a team what we're going to do next. And then you follow up with an email. Yep. It might be close the deal. It might be, hey, I need to go talk to my investor team, convey some of the things that you just conveyed to me. And that's great. But then your reply is go, hey, what? You're now my salesperson. What questions do you have that you think they're going to ask that we didn't address today?
Such good advice. Such good advice. So if I want my business to sound more credible, more mature, and more investable, what systems around communication should I put in place now rather than later?
Great question. So it's many companies these days don't have, or they ad hoc a CRM, customer relation management program. Okay. You notice I just used an acronym. I wasn't sure everyone is familiar what CRM is, so I just kind of explained it. So what a CRM is, customer relation management, is a contact database. It has the name of the person, the phone number, and it's the ability for you to also keep track of what stage you are in with them, speaking to them from an investment perspective. You can set these up with automatic thank yous for attending the webinar and what the next steps are as well. And then if you don't get a response 3 days later, another email should go out. So having automation to set up in the company is also imperative from a messaging perspective, a follow-up perspective, and from a consistency perspective. If you do a webinar today and you don't do anything for 3 weeks, you think they're going to remember you?
No, you're probably not.
No. They're expect, and they're looking at a different hospitality person than yours. They're looking at a different investment because you did no follow-up and you didn't create a next action step.
I understand completely. So I'm going to close this segment by emphasizing that the businesses that scale best are not just the ones that have strong ideas. They are the ones that can express those ideas clearly, repeatedly, and consistently across every touch point. Now I'm going to learn from Jeff here, and I'm going to have a call to action here, okay? I want you to stay tuned, get up, stretch, go get some popcorn, go get a drink, but come back and watch this fourth exciting segment of A Place to Call Home with Jeff Brandeis. We'll be right back with more insight into designing communities that combine freedom, profitability, and purpose. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Ed O. Bridgman, and this is A Place to Call Home on Now Media Television. Let's continue this conversation. Welcome back to A Place to Call Home. I'm Ed Bridgman. I hope you stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or in demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock the nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move? Catch the podcast version on www.nowmediatv.tv. So as we wrap up, I want to zoom out. Alternative living, outdoor hospitality, and residentially inspired destinations are evolving fast. It's a 100-year-old industry, but it's moving at double-digit growth every year that would make new high-tech industries jealous. And I want to believe that the leaders who shape the future of this space will be the ones who know how to communicate change with clarity, confidence, and authority. I want this final segment to feel expansive and future-facing. This is where I connect Jeff's communication philosophy to the broader movement in our industry. The market is changing very much. The consumer, the guest, their expectations are changing. Anybody who doesn't understand that is wrong. Consumer, and the way that you talk about the community, mobility, lifestyle, and investment has to evolve with that. I want to leave viewers with the bigger perspective on leadership and voice. Jeff, when you look at the industries that are evolving quickly, what role does communication play in helping leaders stay relevant rather than reactive?
Being in the forefront these days with so much happening with, you know, the consumer, and you talked about resorts and travel and things like that, and hospitality industry, you know, people are looking online, they're using AI to find things, and they're becoming a lot more educated on their own. You know, one of the missing pieces I think that we didn't talk about yet is painting the vision, or even using a video to get people enticed, engaged upfront of what your vision is, what you see as the end result that's going to get people to invest. If they want to go on a destination, paint that picture of, wow, this is where you want to be 1 year from now, or this is the property that you want to invest in, because this is going to be the state of the art, and these are the renderings, and this is how we imagine this to be completed. And think about the enjoyment that your family will have, or and the returns that this will have for your investors. Because this is going to be a grade A, unbelievable project. And conveying those thoughts from communication perspective, it's not all just words that we talk about. It's not just all what's on the slide, but it becomes that motion picture that you're there now presenting videos. You're now presenting a slide deck conceivably, and you know, providing a picture that's going to get them totally engaged, not only with you, but with the whole aspect of what you're, with all the respect, pitching, what you're trying to sell, hospitality, a resort, you know, an investment for an apartment building, whatever. So imaging, visualization to the people are so important.
I am certainly smelling what you're stepping in. I tell you what, we are all about that at Homestead RV Community. We are the first to have done many different things and actually put out several different patents on the things that we've done first. But visually, we were the very first at Homestead RV Community. We were the first to be able to have a virtual tour. So just like Google Earth, that you can virtually drive down the road and stop and pause and turn and look into a property. We can do that at Homestead RV Community. And now many people are doing that because it's really very affordable. It's super easy. And it's very affordable, but people love that they can virtually drive through the destination and see the different sites and see information about each individual site and where they want to stay, how much it's going to be, is it available? And then again, a couple of years later, Homestead RV Community was the first to expand upon that. And now you can pause outside of our event center or the office or our bathrooms even. And you can, there's a door on the screen. You can open that door and you can look inside. You can see what our bathrooms look like. You can see what the event center looks like, the pool, stuff like that. We were the first to be able to do that. But I'm sorry for taking up so much time. But one thing I want to add to that is it's extremely important that virtual tour be accurate. Okay. So if you create a vision and people go to your website and they say, okay, this is what I'm going to see when I get there. And then they get there and they discover that you took the best pictures over the last 40 years and put them on your website and your place no longer looks that well, you're immediately put in the classification of not telling the truth. And people don't like that. So you've got to make certain that your visual is accurate. What do you think about that?
I 100% agree with you, Ed. I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's all about being honest, forthright with yourself, with your teams, with your management team, and obviously, of course, the investor and with the people. You don't want to get a reputation of over-promising, under-delivering, or the old bait and switch type of routine where you show them one thing and then, AAA luxury condos, apartment, hospitality, but then reality, it's grade B, not even luxury, So, setting those expectations, and the same thing in any sales environment, setting the proper expectations, delivering on your expectation is what's going to provide you the long-term stableness and the long-term growth that you want as a company, as a leader, and you want the those investors to invest a second time, a third time, and a fourth time. So that's where that credibility begins to get earned, is to deliver on what you actually sold them.
That is so true. I can relate to that so easily. And I don't want to make excuses for people who own outdoor hospitality destinations. The median age is 40 years of age. So half have been around for longer than 40 years, and half have been around for less than 40 years. But 77% of all outdoor hospitality destinations in the United States have been around for more than 20 years. So it's just very easy for that owner to say, I want to put my very best pictures out there on the internet. I want people to see when the grass was green and the flowers were blooming and the buildings were new, and that's the common, that's what people want to do. And then your website becomes static, and people don't update their website as often as they should. And they certainly don't say, well, I'm going to put worse looking pictures out there. But when the reality doesn't match what the expectation was purposely set, you've got a big problem.
That's where you conceivably wind up in a lawsuit as well, by not delivering what you basically provided. Because now you have spec sheets, you got pamphlets, you got documentations describing everything. And at the end of the day, that's not where you want to get to or have.
I understand completely. So, Jeff, when you think about leaders and the companies that will be shaping the next chapter of business in America, hospitality industry, the community design, what kind of communicator do you believe they need to become?
That's a great question. And, one that a lot of people are uncomfortable with. And what I mean by that is, and we talked about this earlier, is those that a lot of leaders don't like to speak. They don't like to get in front of people. They don't like to be in front of an audience as well. But every day we do a presentation. Every day we're doing a speech. Every day we are communicating with somebody. And that same philosophy needs to be done as a leader. You could do a Facebook Live. That's, a mini webinar. You're doing a sales presentation, a mini webinar. You're speaking. We speak every day to somebody, whether it's a spouse, loved one, a child. That's part of all presenting. And you're all trying to communicate something to somebody. The same philosophy needs to be in your business. You need to be open-minded. You need to be able to speak. And more importantly, in some ways, in my mind, is every person should be somewhat coachable. I don't know everything. I don't proclaim to know everything. But if someone has a great idea, I'm all ears, because I want to learn from my managers, my teams, even my investors. They might have a better idea than what I even presented. And that's always open to asking those questions. So what'd you like about today's presentation? What do you think could be improved here or on this property that would make it even more inspiring, more investable for you? Open-ended question. You never know what you might get as an answers.
That is fantastic advice. I know one of my weaknesses is I tend to use way too many words to explain myself. So I know I, for one, am going to be contacting Jeff and asking him to help me be a better presenter. And I hope many of my guests will also do the same. I'm grateful to have had this conversation with Jeff Brandeis. What stands out to me is that the future doesn't just belong to the people with the best ideas. It belongs to the people who can communicate those ideas with clarity, confidence, and conviction. In a space like ours, that matters more than ever because the way I tell the story shapes the way the world responds to it. So I hope you'll stay tuned and look forward to future places. I hope you'll come back and look at other episodes of A Place to Call Home. And I hope you'll reach out and contact Jeff Brandeis for better advice about how to be a good presenter. Thank you for watching. I do hope you come back, and I promise I'll get better.